Okay, turn your Bible to Luke chapter 16. Actually, we're going to look at two verses, Luke chapter 16 and 2 Peter chapter number 3. So we'll be looking at two verses tonight, two contrasting verses. Actually, two verses that fit right together. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and verse 9, we don't really have time to explain the whole context, but we do want to talk about the message of this verse. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Verse number 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now both of these verses talk about the same thing, but in a different light. Obviously, 2 Peter chapter 3 is telling us that most of life and most of life is just going to burn up. For most people, most of what they will spend their life on is just going to burn up. And we can ask ourselves, what are we living for? Are we living for that which someday it'll all burn up? Now, that's what the world's living for. Everything they're living for is just going to burn up someday. And certainly, this ought to be a warning to young people. What are you living for? It'll burn up, most of it. Just be turned into fire and it'll be gone. Now, some people in life experience that. Some people in a great tragedy, they're in a fire, and everything they own has burned up in a fire, and it's all over. But those people can start over. They can start over, and they can, bring back their possessions and different things. But at the end of life, if you've lived for this world, it'll all burn up, and you won't be able to get it back. You won't be able to start over. You won't be able to live your life again. It'll be all over. And, much of the world is, all they're thinking about is something that's going to burn up. Something that's going to vanish. Now, if you turn to Luke 16, you see a tremendous contrast to that. It says, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Now, he's talking about the proper use of money. A lot of people, money is everything to them. And they make their decisions in life based on money. A lot of young people make their decisions based on money. The world has plenty of ways to offer young people money and riches, prestige, fame. And the thing that's behind it is a dollar bill. And there's a multitude of people that sell their soul for a dollar bill. Many young people sell their soul for a dollar bill. And a lot of people sell their soul for a dollar bill. And it doesn't have to be selling your soul to cheat. You can sell your soul for a dollar bill without cheating. You can give your life to money and make that your goal in life and in the process lose your soul. But the Bible's talking about using money for something good here. And you can use money for something that's going to burn up, or you're going to use your money for something that's going to last. And in this context, if you study it correctly, that's what it's talking about. What are you going to use your money for? And it's reminding us of something that's really important in life. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of righteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now that's talking about heaven. And there's a figure of speech here. There's a little story here. But the crux of this story is basically this. You know, there's something in life that you will never regret. There's something in life that you will not only never regret, but there's something in life that will always be rewarding. There's something in life that you can give your life for that will always be worth it. And of course, the context here is leading people to Jesus Christ. Leading people to Jesus Christ. Now, you know, as I think about this important subject of leading people to Christ, it takes a multitude of people to lead a soul to Christ, in one sense of the word. It takes a soul winner to be able to see people get saved. It takes people that are praying to see people saved. You know, it takes people who are living right to see people saved. I was thinking of a particular church that, boy, they would love to see people get saved. But, you know, they haven't seen people get saved for a long time. And you know why? Because the people aren't united. People aren't united. There's some people that aren't living for God. And you know, if you don't have people in your church who are living for God, if you don't have strong men in the church living for God, if you don't have people who are loving God and doing right, people don't get saved. People don't get saved because it's the Spirit of God that does the work. And, you know, when people start doing their own thing and they start living a little bit worldly, and you know what happens? The church loses its spiritual power. And, you know, it only takes one family, and that one family will always lead to the next family. It only takes one young person who decides they're going to do what they want, and they open the door for others to follow them. And you know, pretty soon your church has lost its spiritual power. And I was just thinking about the two churches there in Hungary that I was thinking about. I was thinking about the church at Nagy Kanizsa, and how they've seen so many people get saved, and these lives have been changed. And then I was thinking of the struggles that they had down in Page, and how that for a number of years now, almost no one has been saved. And, you know, and they just want people to get saved. And some people are working really hard to see people get saved, but no one's getting saved. You see, it takes more than a soul winner to see people get saved. It takes God's blessing. It takes God's blessing. And God's blessing is really the result of what's taking place in people's lives. You know, if people are just going through the motions of Christianity, but in their heart they love the world, you can guarantee that the church is going to have much power. And you know, and if you know, families are pursuing going downward, and they're seeking instead of going upward, they're getting more like the world. I guarantee you that there's not going to be much spiritual power in the church. But on the other hand, we have a great truth here. What will be the most important thing when our life is over? What's the most important thing? You know, young person, you know what would be the greatest thing that you ever did with your life? Is lead somebody to Christ. I remember Mr. Overmiller telling me that in college he was out soul winning. He knocked on a door. And this lady accepted the Lord. Now, forget all the conditions, but I think that everything around there was a disaster. I mean, it was pretty much a disaster, but this lady got genuinely converted. And I think when he was here, he was just telling me that just a few weeks before that, he had gotten a letter from this lady, and she had somehow got a hold of his name and said, "Are you the Stu Overmiller that led me to Christ? I just want you to know that I am so thankful that whatever it was 20 years ago, you knocked on my door and I was saved." And I think if I can remember the story, I probably don't have the story correctly, but I'll make something that's pretty close. And it was something like, you know, youngest daughter or my daughter is now graduating from high school or whatever, and or is getting married, and she's marrying a Christian young man, and she's living for the Lord, and I just want you to know that I am so thankful that you knocked on my door and led me to Christ. And you know, I would say that that lady, if she lives to be 80 years old, at 80 years old, and she's on her deathbed, I guarantee you know what she's going to be thinking about? She's going to be thinking about the day that somebody knocked on her door and led her to Jesus Christ. That's what she is going to be thinking about as she prepares to meet the Lord. You know, we can decide that we're going to, you know, we all decide what we're going to do with our life. But you know, the devil also knows that if he can distract us from doing what is important in life, wow, what a difference, a negative influence it will be. I was thinking about this great truth. What can we do for our life that's going to make it worthwhile? Lead people to Jesus Christ. You know, you might be the soul winner. You might be the person that prays. You might be the person that's living right, that adds the power to the church. You might be the person who is deciding to go forward in your life and to decide to please the Spirit of God and to make a difference. You know, you might be the young person that decides that you're going to that you're going to follow God. You know, we got a lot of young people that haven't decided to follow God. That really breaks my heart. We got a lot of young people that have not decided to follow God. And you know how that's going to get broken? That's going to get broken by one. That's what it's going to get broken by. And you know, they all knew who they are, but it's going to get broken by one of them when they decide that doesn't matter what the rest of them do, they are going to do right. And you know what? That brings a little bit of revival. And you know, something like that starts happening, and guess what? You start knocking on doors for Vacation Bible School, and you don't have just a nice friendly visit with somebody. You're going to meet somebody that's hungry to get saved, and you're going to see people get saved. But you know, it doesn't happen by accident. People do not get saved by accident. You know, there might be one of the men of our church that decides, or one of the ladies of our church, that they decide they're just going to get honest. They're going to quit playing the game, and they're going to decide that they're going to really start living for God. They know they got sin in their life. They know that they're doing wrong, and they aren't living the Christian life. And you know, when they make a decision to come out for God, we can have some revival. I was just reading about this story of Al Channon, the last of the giants, evangelist to the lumberjacks. And I remember, just read the story on the way, on the airplane, for the third time I read it. Too bad my brain doesn't remember. I have to keep reading these books over again. But they're still a blessing every time I read them, though. But Al Channon got saved, and he went to back to the woods and back to the lumberjacks. And it was a very, very wicked situation. And he just got back there. And he stood up in front of all the lumberjacks and he says, I want you men to know right now that I got saved and I'm going to live for God. Don't offer me any liquor. You'll never hear a curse word out of my mouth again, et cetera. And every night I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to get on my knees and pray. And he just, you know, he confessed Christ. And even that, and that brought about little revival. The most wicked person in that lumber camp that night got right with God because someone stood up and decided that they were going to do right. You see, the most important thing we can do is the eternal destinies of souls. And it isn't always just by knocking on someone's door that someone gets saved. Now, people are going to get saved that way, but you know, people get saved when people get right with God. People get saved when young people, they decide they're going to stop living for the world and stop being indecisive, and they're going to live for God. You know, Aggie, I don't know her last name, but she's a senior in high school. Been going to the church at Page on and off for 3 years. And last summer, Aggie was going down the road on her bicycle. And she was thinking about all the changes that would have to come place in her life if she got saved. She's thinking, well, yeah, you know, she wouldn't be going to the dance. And she'd be wearing dresses. And she'd be reading her Bible. And all the other things I don't know about. But she thought about all of those things, that what it would mean to live the Christian life. And she said, you know, that's what I need to do. I need to accept Jesus Christ. Those things don't matter. And she got genuinely converted. Because she decided that sin wasn't worth it. Now, we need to think about the eternal. The most important thing that our life will ever count for is the eternal. Most important thing that we can participate in, most important thing to us and to someone else, is being able to tell them and see them come to Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be converted. It's a wonderful thing to be born again. You know, every person that is born again, they never forget about the people that were involved in them coming to Christ. Have you? Nope. And that's what this verse is talking about. They will receive you into everlasting habitations. And so we need to long to see people get saved. We need to long that we can be a part of the eternal picture. And we need to be praying that that some of our young people will get that aren't saved will get saved. And we need to, you and I need to make some serious decisions in our lives so that so the wind starts blowing here. And the wind might have to start blowing by the people who are so-called doing right, get some things right with God. And the wind might start blowing around here. Wouldn't it be great to see people get saved? But the wind's got to be blowing. And it won't blow if it's not blowing in our lives. And then we could see the great thing of even seeing people out on that street coming to Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing to see some of these Chinese come to Christ. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to see some of these Spanish come to Christ? Wouldn't it be great to see some of these daycare families come to Christ? Wouldn't it be great to see that? Wouldn't it be great to see some families from VBS come to Christ? You know, it's all about the wind, folks. John chapter 3, the wind bloweth where it listeth. It's all about the wind. And we need to be letting the Spirit of God work in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for just being reminded of what's important in life. And Lord, we know that there's many things that keep us busy in life because we have been destined to work and to provide for our lives and for families. But Lord, in the midst of that, Lord, we need to be thinking about the most important thing, and that's the eternal. And Lord, there's many distractions in this world, and many of those distractions will just burn up at the last day. But Lord, I pray that there'd be increased fervency in our church about the eternal. And Lord, I pray that we would just more than have some emotional longing for people to be saved. I pray that we'd really realize that that there's some real moving and yielding and turning from sin in our own lives, or even, Lord, decisions of going forward that we really need to make, that really make the difference is starting the wind to blow of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I do pray for those young people that are not right with you, that have our middle of the road. They're simple, and they're being influenced by the fool and the scorner. And Lord, their life will amount to nothing. I pray for them that, Lord, that they would really consider what their life is, and they would consider what it really means to live the Christian life. And Lord, I pray your Spirit would work in their life to realize that God is the most important thing in their life, no matter how much they think he isn't important. And I pray that, Lord, some of them that will be saved. I pray for those that are saved that they would get right. And I pray for adults, Lord. There's men, there's women in our church need to get right with you. Each one of us, Lord, need to get serious. And there's changes need to take place in our life. And I pray that, Lord, in your mercy, that you'd work in our midst, that we could, in our own lives, be involved in the most important thing that will ever take place in our life, is seeing people come to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.